In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We are continuing our commentaries on the Epistle of Romans, chapter 4. The last time we were speaking about Abraham as the father of all believers, because Jew people considered him as their own father, and they looked down to the Gentiles, people who believed in Christ, as different, as lower in standard, because they are not the offspring of Abraham. But Saint Paul, who were a Pharisee before, proved that Abraham was the father of all nations, and he was the father of the faith, because he believed in God. He is the role model of all believers, and he went the steps of faith, he worked the works of faith, and he was taking this promise as righteous before even circumcised. So he was the father of uncircumcised and also the father of the circumcised later on. So he is the father of all believers. Chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it's written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believes, because Christ was speaking to Abraham, and he gave him this title that he is the father of all nations. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Now he's speaking about the meaning of faith. To believe, to have faith, is to trust things you cannot see. To trust God's promises, even if you cannot see it now or by logic, it's not, you know, reasonable. That's exactly what happened with Abraham. God promised Abraham to have offsprings, and he was old. His wife was very old, but still the promise was there. He believed in God. He did not doubt it. That's why he was given Isaac in his old days. And because he believed in God who can give life out of death. Because the womb of Sarah at that time was like a dead body. But Isaac was born out of death. So that's the power of God. Abraham believed in this. He trusted God. That's why he became the role model of faith. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, because he was speaking about millions of people coming out of Abraham, while at that time there was no single person came out of Abraham. But still, with the eyes of faith, Abraham believed all the words of God. Who contrary to hope, because hope now is related to reason, and by reasoning, you know, there is no hope for Abraham to have son or daughter at that time. But contrary to the flesh hope, in hope he believed, in hope, in the spiritual meaning of hope, he hoped for the promise of God to happen. He believed in it. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. So God spoke about his descendants. So Abraham will have many nations out of his body. Through Isaac he had many, many, many people, like the sand of the sea, like the stars of the heaven. So he believed in the promise. He had this hope, and God made it in his last days. He started to have this seed of Isaac, and after many hundred years, Christ came out of this offspring. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Now he's still explaining to us what is the meaning of faith in the life of Abraham. What was the challenge at that time? Because for anyone to believe in God, there will be always some kind of challenge. It's not easy to trust God because you cannot see by your eyes all the words given by God clearly. So, and not being weak in faith, he was not weak in faith. He did not consider his own body. He did not focus on his body as being very old, and he could not bring children. Already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he was considered as dead as anyone. He cannot bring children. Sarah, in the year of her 90 year old, she cannot bring also any children. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He had the full trust in God. He did not doubt it. He did not waver in thinking whether the promise of God will happen or will not happen. He just was sure that God will give him Isaac in the time planned by him. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He believed in the Almighty God, in the full power of God, and also in the wisdom of God. So he surrendered. He just trusted the word of God. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's the key word. Because when you believe in God, God is promising that he will come to save us. And he came. And he was crucified for all of us. And he gave us the power of resurrection. And he promised with the eternal life. So by believing in God and his deeds for our salvation, we will be saved because we will be given the gift of righteousness. So now we are the people of God. Now it was not written for his sake alone. This story of Abraham, it's not kind of a historical nice story, but it was written for us because it's the same for everyone. Now we need to believe like Abraham who believed in God. We need to trust God. We need to hope in the promise. We need to close our eyes and open the eyes of faith to trust God in his promises. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. He shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So because he was mentioning the story of Isaac came out of death, and also, you know, it happened again after many years later that when Abraham took Isaac to kill him, to make him like a sacrifice, and he went back with Isaac alive. So it's another story of resurrection. So it's again, that's the core of our belief. We need to believe in God, our Lord Christ, risen from death. And that's the power of eternal life. Who was delivered up because of our offenses, who was delivered, crucified for our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. So he died just for us, and he was also raised from death just for us. He did not need to die, he did not need to rise up from death, but it's all for us. The power of his death on the cross for our redemption, and the power of his resurrection for our justification, for our eternity. So Christ came to save us through dying on the cross and rising up from the dead. Again, for Abraham, he needed only to believe that God could give him life out of death, could give him a seed, an offspring, out of his old nature, could give him life, new life, extended life through his offspring. Abraham believed in this. And because he believed, although he was very old and his wife was old, but he trusted God, he hoped in his promise, now he was considered righteous. The same applies to us now. When we believe in Christ, our real Savior, God incarnate, to die for us, for redemption, and to justify us by rising up from dead, now we will be saved. Now we are the people of God, exactly like Abraham was the chosen man of God. Now, let's revise what happened. In the Epistle of Romans, St. Paul had a real challenge to explain the idea of Christian salvation. He had to mention the whole story. Why should God come to our land? Why Christ came? And why we are believing in His crucifixion and His resurrection? So he started by the story of corrupted nature of man. He made it very clear that the story of the Gentiles and the Jews are more or less the same. They all are corrupted. They all are doing bad. No one is good. No one could make the will of God. So there is only just one who came from heaven, who is the fully powerful one who can save human beings. He is the only sinless man. So Christ came for redemption, to cover all sins, to pay the debts of all people. So the story of Abraham is like a model of righteousness related to faith. It was not related to circumcision and not related to the law of Moses. Abraham was the model of having righteousness through faith. So now we are the people of the New Testament having this righteousness, not through circumcision or Moses' law, but through the real faith of the New Testament, the acting faith, because faith should act in good deeds according to our belief. Chapter 5 will focus on the character of Adam. Because St. Paul will tell us the story that Adam, being the first man, the father of all people, he made the problem. He is the source of corruption. He, broke the rule, the commandment. That's why corruption entered our nature. So there should be another Adam to save us, new source of life. That's the story of chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ saved us and justified us by faith. We have peace with God. Now we are not afraid of God because God loved us. God gave us His salvation, His eternal life, just by faith. Through whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand. So all blessings, all gifts of the New Testament given through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we are the people of the Lord. We are Christian. We are the followers of Christ. We are the members of His body. We are united to Him by the Holy Spirit. So by this relationship with Christ Himself, now we are gifted, now we are the chosen people, through whom we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now we are hoping for eternal life. The glory, eternal glory, will be given to us through faith. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Even if we have hard times, still we are the people of God. And we accept this tribulation because we believe that the cross should come before the resurrection. Pain should come before the joy of winning. So we are in time of tribulation. So we accept it happily, waiting for the glory of eternity. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Having tribulation in our life is full of fruits, full of gifts. The hard time is not a bad time. The hard time, the tough times, usually bring up many good virtues, like patience, like perseverance, like strength in faith, like hope for God, like deep praying, like humility, like we are filled with the Spirit through endurance. While we endure sufferings, we pray in faith, in hope, waiting for God to save us, actually we are filled more and more with the Holy Spirit. So it's full of gifts. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint. For anyone who have hope in God, God will not disappoint him. Just believing in God as your Father, the one who cares for your salvation, he will not disappoint you. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. So, as if he's saying, you believed in Christ, so you were baptized to be a member in Christ, to be freed from following Adam's corruption and to be the follower of Christ to heaven. So after baptism, you were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now you are Christian because you have the Spirit of Christ himself. And that's the love of God who poured his love inside your heart by his Holy Spirit. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We were like helpless. We were hopeless because we couldn't see any light of salvation because all men are corrupted. So we need God to save us. So even in our times of failure, God came to our land to interfere with the problem, to conquer the problem. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died not for the good people because there are no good people. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He is telling us that for a good person, maybe some people may think of dying just to redeem him, for him, to replace him. But for a bad man, people will never think to take his place, to die for him. Now God, the good one, the only good one, being incarnate in flesh in our human nature, he died for the bad people. The good who died for the bad. So it's, you know, expressing how much love in God's heart for all human beings. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ did not wait for us to be good in order to die for us. Now, no. Because of his love, he died for us and we were very bad. We were sinners. To show us how much love he loved his people. Glory to God.